Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some stories find their way into your life like whispers on the wind, faint yet persistent and impossible to ignore. This one begins with a young boy in a modern, well-lit church, an environment as far removed from superstition as you can imagine. Yet it was there in the middle of a congregation deep in prayer that he first saw it. A robed figure, silent and still, standing at the altar. A monk in a building with no history of such figures. As the years passed, the boy grew into a man, an architect, with a sharp, rational mind, but the shadows from his childhood followed him, manifesting in quiet ways, objects moving, unseen footsteps, and presences that couldn't be explained. Mark, our storyteller tonight, never sought the paranormal. It seemed to seek him, brushing the edges of his life with whispers of things unseen. What would you do if the line between what you can see and what you can feel began to blur? Is Mark's story one of imagination, or is he one of the rare few who can see beyond the veil? Let's get to the letter. They write, "I never imagined I'd be writing to you about something like this. My life has always been practical, grounded. As an architect, my days are filled with measurements, blueprints, and precision. Yet for as long as I can remember, the unexplainable has shadowed my steps, sometimes playful, sometimes unsettling, but always there. It started when I was a child, around 8 years old. My parents and I attended a modern Methodist church every Sunday. Nothing about the place was ominous, no Gothic spires, no ancient stones steeped in history. It was carpeted, brightly lit, welcoming. Yet one morning during prayer, I saw something that made me question everything. Everyone had their heads bowed, their eyes closed, murmuring softly. But as I sat there, I happened to glance up toward the altar. That's when I saw him, a monk, dressed in a simple robe, standing motionless. He wasn't part of the congregation, and his presence felt wrong. I rubbed my eyes, even pried them wide open with my fingers, trying to convince myself I was seeing things, but he didn't disappear. He just stood there, silent and out of place. I didn't tell anyone. How could I? It wasn't fear that kept me silent, but a strange certainty that no one would believe me. Yet from that day forward, I avoided the corner of the church where I'd seen him. That spot, it always felt heavier, colder, like it was watching me. Even now when I visit, I can feel it in my bones. Years passed, and I chalked it up to a child's imagination. But then during university, things began to happen again. I lived in a shared house with three others, two lads and a girl named Emily. Emily's mother was a medium, though I didn't think much of it at the time. It was a normal house, by all appearances, but inside something was off. It started with small, strange things. I'd be working in my room, sketching on my drawing board, and I'd turn away for a moment, maybe to grab a drink or check something. When I returned, my pencils, ruler, and erasers would be gone. Every time I'd search the floor, the desk, everywhere. But there'd be nothing. At first, I thought it was my housemates playing tricks on me. But one day, after the fourth or fifth time, I decided to test it. I said aloud, "I'm going downstairs. When I come back, I want my tools back where they were." I left the room, went to the kitchen, and returned a few minutes later. Sure enough, my pencils and ruler were right where I'd left them, as if they'd never been gone. It wasn't scary, just strange. Emily mentioned once that she'd woken up in the middle of the night to see a man standing at the foot of her bed. She swore she wasn't frightened, only curious. Her calm reaction unnerved me more than the story itself. Things didn't escalate until I started my first job at an architecture firm. The office was in a converted 19th century house, beautiful but undeniably eerie. On my first day, a colleague warned me in hushed tones about George. The spirit said to haunt the building. I laughed it off, thinking it was office folklore. Then the footsteps started. Faint at first, coming from the spiral staircase in the center of the office. At least once a week, someone would glance up suddenly, swearing they'd seen a shadow pass by. And just like at university, tools and equipment would vanish, only to reappear in the exact same spot hours later. No one felt threatened, but we all knew George was there. Once I caught the receptionist speaking quietly, her eyes fixed on the corner of the room. When I asked who she was talking to, she turned pale and stammered, "I thought you were just around the corner. I could have sworn I saw you." The coincidences piled up, and I started to wonder if these encounters were connected, if the presence from my childhood church had followed me, or if I was simply more attuned to whatever exists on the edges of our perception. That was nothing compared to what came next. After years of brushing these encounters aside, I found myself facing something I couldn't ignore. My job required me to survey ancient churches, many of them centuries old, scattered across remote countryside locations. At first, I approached the work like any other assignment, documenting structures, photographing details, measuring dimensions. But as I stepped into these churches, I began to notice something. Not every church felt the same. Some were warm and welcoming, like stepping into a peaceful sanctuary. But others carried a weight that pressed down on me the moment I crossed the threshold. I'd feel it in my chest, a palpable presence. It wasn't always threatening, but it was impossible to ignore. One day I was working alone in a small weathered chapel miles from the nearest town. The air inside was stifling, heavy with an unspoken sadness. I tried to focus on my work, but the feeling grew stronger with every step I took. By the time I reached the altar, my hands were trembling. It wasn't fear, exactly. More like an unbearable sorrow that seemed to seep into my very soul. I pushed through, determined to finish the survey. But then I heard it. A faint rhythmic tapping coming from the choir loft above. The chapel was empty. I checked when I arrived. I froze, every instinct telling me to leave. But my rational mind insisted there had to be an explanation. I climbed the narrow staircase to the loft, expecting to find a bird or a loose shutter. There was nothing. The moment I reached the top, the sound stopped. The air was colder up there, and I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I hurried back down, but the tapping resumed the second I stepped off the stairs. That's when I knew I couldn't stay. When I returned to the office, my colleagues didn't ask why my survey was incomplete. They didn't need to. It was an unspoken rule among us. When a church felt unwelcoming, you didn't argue with it. Instead, we'd quietly arrange for the vicar to accompany us on a return visit, hoping their presence would ease whatever tension lingered in the air. Another time, I was photographing a crumbling churchyard late in the afternoon. As I reviewed my shots, I noticed a faint, translucent shape in one of the images. It looked like a figure standing near the edge of the graveyard just outside the church walls. I double-checked my surroundings. There was no one there. By now, these experiences had become almost routine. But there was one moment that still haunts me. I was working in another countryside church, alone as usual. From the moment I entered, the atmosphere was oppressive. The sadness I'd felt in other churches was there, but it was sharper, more personal. As I worked, the feeling intensified until I could barely breathe. My chest ached, and tears welled up in my eyes for no reason. It was as if the walls themselves were grieving, pouring their sorrow into me. I dropped my tools and bolted outside, gasping for air. I couldn't go back in. When I told my supervisor, he simply nodded and made arrangements for someone else to finish the survey. There was no judgment, no disbelief. It was just another occupational hazard, accepted without question. These encounters left me with more questions than answers. Why did some places feel so welcoming while others felt like they wanted me gone? Was I imagining it all, or was there something truly there? Something that had been watching me since I first saw that monk as a child? It's been years since my last encounter, but I still catch fleeting glimpses of shadows out of the corner of my eye. I tell myself it's nothing, but deep down I know better. Tony, I don't know what to make of it all. Are these places haunted, or am I simply more attuned to something most people can't see? Whatever the truth, I'll never forget the weight of those moments, the way they lingered long after I left. Sincerely, Mark. There's something profoundly unsettling about Mark's story, not just the events themselves, but the emotions they evoke. Unlike the tales of aggressive hauntings or malevolent spirits we so often hear, Mark's experiences are marked by something quieter, yet no less chilling. Sorrow. The weight of sadness, the oppressive atmosphere of certain spaces, these aren't things that can be easily explained or dismissed. From the childhood sighting of the monk to the tapping in the choir loft, Mark's encounters seem to follow a pattern of quiet observation rather than outright confrontation. Could these spirits be tied to the places themselves, relics of lives once lived and emotions once felt? Or is there something about Mark, his presence, his sensitivity, that draws them to him? Of course, there's always the psychological angle to consider. Human perception is far from perfect. The power of suggestion, coupled with an environment steeped in history and emotion, can create experiences that feel profoundly real. Could Mark's feelings of sorrow in those churches have been a projection of his own emotions, amplified by the isolation and solemnity of his surroundings? But then, we have the physical manifestations, the vanishing tools, the tapping noises, the translucent figure in the photograph. These aren't just feelings, they're phenomena that suggest something beyond the psychological. What I find most fascinating is how Mark's colleagues handled these events. The unspoken rule of leaving a church when it felt unwelcome, the quiet acceptance of unfinished surveys. These actions speak to a shared understanding, an acknowledgement that some places simply resist human presence. And then there's the question of the monk. Why did Mark see him? Why in a modern church with no known ties to monastic history? Could this figure have been a guardian, a warning, or perhaps even a harbinger of the other encounters that would follow? In the end, Mark's story leaves us with more questions than answers. But maybe that's the point. Maybe these experiences aren't meant to be fully understood, only witnessed and remembered. So, what do you think? Are these the echoes of lives long past, lingering in the places they once called home? Or is Mark simply more in tune with the energy of these spaces than most? Whatever the explanation, one thing is certain. The line between the seen and the unseen is far thinner than we'd like to believe. Stay curious, stay skeptical, and as always, stay safe.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.